What page?
On page 1060. The last thing we're learning is about leprosy, lashon hara. That you have to make sure to do everything the Kohanim and Levim tell you to do. And like we're discussing, you can't cut off any of the tzaras. You have to follow exactly when the Kohanim say, when it's definitely tummy, it's not definitely tummy, you have to lock it up for a week and so on and so forth. And the last thing we're discussing about the fact that lashon hara kills three people, the talker, the listener, and the one they're talking about, because we said speech is a revelation of hidden things. So when somebody speaks bad about somebody, that actually reveals the bad that they have within them that until now was quiet and dormant and comatose. And by speaking about it, you actually reveal it. What?
Does that mean if you say something good about someone else, it would bring goodness on?
It brings out their good.
Okay. Well, lashon hara works only when you talk to someone, not just to think. To think,
it has to be...
Because think doesn't... I mean, you can't think bad about somebody either, but I'm saying... But speaking is actually revealing it into the world.
But for the good things, we say that if we think good about someone, going to be...
No, it's a machshava teva, good thought, God connects to my to action. It doesn't mean if I think about putting on tefillin, but I don't do it, it's like I put on tefillin. That's not what it means. It means, like you said, God makes the good thought, the intent, makes the mitzvah fly up. In other words... But it doesn't take the place of a mitzvah. If somebody thinks I'm going to learn, they don't learn. Or if somebody thinks I'm going to put on tefillin, and they don't, they didn't get the mitzvah.
Unless you really want and you're in a situation that you can't.
That's a different story. Okay, Suran, page 1060, fourth line from the top, Pasuk Tes. In connection to this Lashon Hara, so to speak, the Pasuk says like this, Zocher Eisa Shor Asa Hashem Alekecha, you should remember what Hashem did to Miriam, when you left Egypt. As we all know, we read in last week's parsha, Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she became a leper, she had leprosy, and the Jews waited for 7 days. So the Pasuk says, you should remember, in fact, this is one of the 6 remembrances that we say after davening, every day of the week, with one of them about Amalek and Shabbos, and so this is one of the things, remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Now, why is the Pasuk teaching us of saying the word on the way out of Egypt? We know it was out of Egypt. Why is the Pasuk saying, remember what Hashem did to Miriam when you went out of Egypt? So the Pasuk explained like this, that Miriam was so great, okay, that when the Jews, when she had leprosy, the Pasuk says, not this passage, in Palaischa, the Pasuk says, they waited 7 days for her, until she became healed from the leprosy. So it says, why did Miriam merit that the whole Jewish nation waited for her? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was a baby, and his mother put him in the basket, into the Nile, so the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Shmois, the sister stood to wait what was going to happen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And then Bisya, as she was called, Barah's daughter, was looking for a nurse, and she suggested the mother of the baby, and so on. So he says, we still see how precious Miriam was to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore it says, remember what she did when you left Egypt, meaning, even though the Jews were going out of Egypt, they're on the way to Eretz Yisrael, yeah, and yet Miriam was so special, and yet she had leprosy, so how much more so a regular Jew that's not special like Miriam, that it's going to affect them in a very serious way. Now, by the way, another interesting thing it says, if you look in this pasuk, it says Zachar, singular, and then it says Baderach Betzeischem, when you went out, plural. Why does the Torah begin singular? Like we say in Shema, Leman Tizkeru. Right? It should say Zichru. Or whatever. But Zohar is singular. And then the Pasuk concludes, Baderach Betzeischem. Plural, not Betzeischa. Betzeischem, when you left Egypt, plural. Why does the Torah begin singular and end up plural? So the Mefarshim explain, because even if you speak Lashon Hara privately, not to a lot of people, you just speak Lashon Hara to one person singular, it's also bad. It also has its negative effect, and it's not a good thing to do. So the Torah says...
reach everyone else.
Huh?
In a way, it's going to reach someone else, because everyone is going to talk about it, and they're going to pass it on.
Yeah, but right, that's what happens. The Gemara said, the Gemara says an expression, chavacha, chavacha, isli. Your friend has a friend who has a friend who has a friend. Yeah? And then, by the way, the game telephone, the little kids play, okay. By the time the fifth person hears it, the Lashon Hara is added a whole beer to it, and a whole book on it, because everybody likes to spice it up a little bit more. So if you go back to the original story, it was nowhere near as bad as what everybody spoke. But that's where the pasuk starts off, Lashon Yachid, and ends up, B'derech Mitzrayim from Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, even though, like it says, again, what's the emphasis of B'tzeichem in Mitzrayim? Because the Medrash says, in the merit of the righteous women, the Jews left Egypt. And Miriam, by Oz Yashir, after the Jews split the sea, Miriam took all the women, was singing the praise, like it says, she was singing the praise of Hashem. And yet, Miriam, it happened to. So how much more so, like we said, how much more so in a regular person? Now, another interesting thing that has to be kept in mind, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, HaChayim V'Hamoves B'Yad HaLoshen. Life and death is in the hand of a tongue. Simply, anybody can tell you, verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse. And it could be you can kill somebody with words, and you can make somebody, you can resurrect them from the dead. They could be depressed and everything with that. And you could bring them back to the life. And in fact, there's a very interesting story. The Mamloyas brings down. There was the king of Persia got sick. Don't say which one, but the king of Persia got sick. And they told him, the only way you can get healed is if you bring milk from a female lion. Okay? So, the go to a lion and get milk from a lion is much dangerous. Okay? So they found a guy that said, I'm willing to save the life of the king. I'm going to bring the milk of a lioness. So what he did was like this. He said, I need 10 goats. I need 10 goats. So what he did was, he went to the forest where the lions were. And there was one lioness that was nursing her babies. So he stood from the distance and threw a goat to the lioness. And she ate it. Next day he got a little bit closer. And every day he got a little bit closer. Until finally she was appreciative of what he did. The pearl, to make a long story short, he ended up milking the lioness and had the milk for the king. Okay? Now, on the way back, this is what it says. On the way back, he had a dream. What was his dream? The dream was that all his limbs in his body were fighting. Which of his own limbs got the milk? So the feet said, listen, without me, you wouldn't get anywhere. You wouldn't go anywhere. The hand said, we were going to actually milk the cow, the lion. And anyway, a whole bunch of things came up. So the tongue said, if I wouldn't have told you what to do, if I wouldn't have told this guy, the Eitzah, what to do, if you wouldn't have spoken, it wouldn't have happened. Okay? So everybody said to the tongue, how are you mixing in over here? You didn't do anything here. You went along for the ride, but you didn't take him, you didn't, okay. And then they said like this, they said to the tongue, you sit in a dark place in the mouth, we don't even see you. Like, who are you? You're not even seen. You look at a person, you don't see the tongue. Okay, so the tongue said, you'll see, the tongue said to them, that I control you. Okay? So the man heard this in the dream. He went to the king, and he said like this. He came to the king, and the guy that brought the milk said to the king, here is milk from a dog. from a female dog. So he said the king got very angry at him, and he said, hang him. He's making fun of me. I want milk from a lion. It's not from a dog. What's he bringing me dog's milk? Okay. So, when they were taking him out to get killed, all the limbs started fighting again. They were crying. So the tongue says to them, did you see? I got you into this mess. I'll get you out of the mess. This is what the tongue said. So he says, and if I get us out of this mess, I'll control you guys. You'll realize I'm in charge. He said, yeah, and there's no choice. Okay, so he went to the king. He says, I know you want to hang me, but let me tell you something. He says, why are you killing me? Because they said it was dog's milk. He said, what's the difference? This milk is going to heal you. We call a lion a dog. I mean, so what's the difference? The tongue says to the king, take it and you'll see that you'll get better. So the king said, okay, let's wait with the hanging. The king took the milk and he got better. Okay, what does that show? The tongue got them into the mess and the tongue got him out of the mess. Rabbi Gamliel had a servant by the name of Tevi, a goyish servant, David Kanani. He was a very learned scholar, very great man. Okay? And the story, Rabbi Gamliel gave Tevi some money and told him, go to the market and buy me the best food. Went to the market and he came back with a tongue. Then he gave him money and said, go buy me the worst food. He said to Tevi, go buy me the worst food. He came back with the tongue. So Gamliel said to him, how could tongue be the best food and the worst food? So he quoted Tevi, who was a big scholar. He quoted the Pasuk in Mishlei, Hachayim v'hamavez biyad haloshen. So he said, tongue could be the best food. Tongue could be the worst food. What?
It's like World War II or the Rocky Shock and all out there.
Okay. So he says, that's what it says, that, you know, the tongue is very powerful. So therefore, the Torah has a special mitzvah, by the way, to remember what Miriam did, meaning to remember the whole concept of the Lashon Hara and everything else, because it's very powerful. And in fact, the Gemara says that if you speak Lashon Hara, it's because it's like Kaifa Be'ika, like to deny God's existence, because you're showing that the Yetzer is totally in control, and you know, if you would believe that God is omnipresent, that God's all over, then you wouldn't go speak Lashon Hara bad about somebody who's created in God's image. So that's why the Torah says you have to, and another Gemara says rain is not withheld to the Jewish people only because of Lashon Hara. You know, it's all these various things that the Torah speaks about, how bad the concept of Lashon Hara is. Okay, so that's, to the extent there's even a mitzvah to remember. Okay, next pasuk, pasuk Yud. Ki sasha v'reacha mashas mu'uma, when you make your fellow a loan of any amount, okay, we're going to discuss, we'll learn the pasuk, we'll discuss the din over here. Leisave al beisei, you're not allowed to enter his home, lavet avoite, to take security for it. Now, there's two types of loans. I mean, there's many types of loans. But the loan that the Torah is speaking about is like this. What happens if I lend you money? At the time of the loan, I take collateral. I take a security deposit, an object, whatever it may be. So that you're allowed to do. But we'll learn that if it's something that they need to eat or sleep, then you have to give it back to them at night. Let's say you take a blanket of security, so when it comes night, you have to give it back, because they need to sleep on it. And in the morning, you could take it back to hold for security of the day. Okay, that's one type of loan. Then there's another loan. You don't take any security. So I'm lending you money for 30 days. No security, no collateral, no nothing. The end of 30 days, the guy's not paying up. Then you want to take collateral. Okay. That's this type of collateral that the Pasuk speaking about now. When you lend your friend money, And now the time of payment, without collateral. And now the time of the debt has come, and he doesn't have money. You're not allowed to go into his house to take collateral. The pasuk says, "Bachutz tamid," you have to stand outside the house. Vo'ish asher ata neishibay, and the guy that you own the money to, yaitzi alecha as aveta chutzam. He will take out the security to you outside. You're not allowed to go into his house. Okay? This is, by the way, the Torah is the dignity of the person that owes you the money. The Torah doesn't want you to go into his house and start rummaging through his stuff and to see what he has and what he does. It's just not menschlich. It's not respectful. So the Torah says, take it and he'll pay it back. By the way, from here, the Gemara learns an interesting halacha. There's a whole Gemara in Ksubis, and it's many, many places in Shas. He has what's called property that people own. General property, or things that a person owns, divided into three categories. Ziburius, which means the junk. Beninus, the middle type of property. And Idius is prime property. Okay? Now, if you owe me money, and you have all those three types of properties, right? Do I collect from the best of the property, the middle of the property, or the lowest of the property?
Middle.
I'll give you an example. Okay, you guys know real estate, right? Can have $1,000 piece of property. So if it's chunky property, it could be an acre. And if it's prime property, it could be a foot by a foot. Right? Now, a guy would rather have a smaller parcel that's more valuable, so he's just easier to control and easier to grow things and whatever it is, than a larger parcel, which is junk. But it's still $1,000. It's like, what weighs more, 100 pounds of feathers or 100 pounds of silver? It's the same thing. 100 pounds, 100 pounds. So the Gemara says like this. Nezikin, it's interesting. Nezikin, if you damage somebody and they have to collect from your property, they take from the best property. Balchayv, a lender, biblically gets from the junk to collect the debt. But people would not lend money then, because that's what they're going to get paid as collateral. So the Chachamim said, you get from the Beininess. Okay? But the Ksuba of Isha, that is, she gets from the Ziburis. Amongst other things also. She gets from the not such a, that's if he has all three. Now, the Gemara says, how do we know that a Baal Chayv really should get from the junkiest property? Because the Torah says over here, the guy that owes you the money will bring it out for you. What's he going to bring out? The best things or the worst things? He's going to bring out the worst things. So therefore, the fact that the Torah says, wait outside, he'll bring you out the collateral for the debt, we learn out from here that it could be the junkiest things he can collect. But again, the Chacham made a takana that he should collect from the middle property, otherwise people are not going to lend any money. Not only that, if the guy, there's another thing that Chum said. If the guy's going to go into the house to collect the collateral, he's going to end up in a fight with fist fights, and somebody's going to get hurt. So the Torah said, you know what happens? You owe money, and the guy doesn't. And the guy said, oh, you see what you have? You could pay. You know the way it goes. So the Torah says, we don't want any bloodshed over here. We don't want any hitting. Wait outside. The guy will bring it out to you. But you're not allowed to go into his house. Even a Beis Din sends a shliach. The guy has to wait outside, and the person will bring outside the things to the shliach.
He doesn't have.
No, speaking if he has, obviously. Okay, so that's the din. Now, it says like this. What happens if the guy says, come into the house? then obviously you can go into the house. If he want, if he invites you in, then you can go. Okay, that's the, that is. Okay, so it says like this. You're not allowed to go. Bachutz tamei, you have to stand outside. Ashatan, it's Aisha, Shatanei, Shabbat, the guy that owes you the money. Yaiti, Lacha, Savei, Tachutz, he'll bring you to security outside. But now the Torah says, and this is very interesting. Vimish anihu, what happens if the man is pure, a poor? The guy you lent the money to is poor. And if he's going to give you the security, he won't be able to sleep at night because he's going to give you his blanket and pillow. He's not going to be able, so it says like this. Leisishka bavaite. You can't sleep with it. You can't have, you have to return it to him before the sun sets. Hashiv tashiv le'avait b'kevei ha-shemesh. It says that when the sun sets, when the sun comes, meaning when the sun sets, you should give it back to him. V'shachav v'salmasei v'rechaka, that the poor man should sleep in his own garment, blanket, whatever it is, and he will bless you. U'lochati ha-tzedakah, and to you, this will be an act of righteousness. Okay? Lifnei Hashem alokecha, before God. Meaning, even if the poor man doesn't bless you, God will bless you for the act of kindness. And this is, they say, there's another very interesting thing they say over here. It says like this. This also, and this, this, Marco, there's a whole thing from the Rebbe Kutz and Yodesh Toys Chassidus about this. Where, you know where we learned this from? From God. The Maidani. Huh? It's unbelievable. Think about it. What does Maidani teach us? One of the many lessons Maidani is, Maidani and Pshat and Remez and Rosh and Sod. One of the things Maidani teaches us is this din. Meaning like this. We owe God a debt. If you think about it, God says, okay, I'm giving you life, and the condition you do ABC 613 for me. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 613. And we don't necessarily do it. So we have a debt to Hashem that we owe him the mitzvahs that we didn't do. We go to sleep at night, the neshama goes up to heaven, sleep is the 60th of death, neshama goes up, and in the morning we wake up, we say, God, Maidani lefanecha, thank you for giving me back my soul. So one of the interpretations of Maidani and Drush is, the truth of the matter is, God could have kept a soul up there as collateral. Right? We owe Hashem a debt. We're not doing the mitzvahs like we should. So now, Hashem, technically, he has this collateral in his hand, and he wouldn't have to give it back. Meaning we would die. Nevertheless, what does Hashem do? Hashem says, I'm going to give it back to you the next day. Which teaches us, it says, in the meaning of Maidani, that like the Pasuk says here, that even when you take somebody's collateral, God says, give it back, because then you do what I do. God said, give it back, and I'll bless you for giving it back to the person. God wants us to be following in his ways. Okay? In other words, what?
Isn't this chesed? Why does it say tzedakah, righteousness?
Tzedakah is even more than
chesed,
yeah. Because...
But tzedakah is like, you know, chesed is giving something from yourself. Tzedakah is something...
But let me tell you why it's using the word tzedakah here. It's based on what we just said. Uluchati et tzedakah lefnei Hashem alakecha. It means like this. Just like when God... Okay, when a person davens to God, God give me health, wealth, happiness, you know, tons of stuff we ask for, right? So the analogy is like this. A worker works for the boss, does proper work, does his job properly. Okay, at the end of the week, he comes to the boss and says, can I have my check? He's not asking for charity. He's asking for something he deserves. That's not called tzedakah. If somebody works for you and you pay him, It's not tzedakah. You owe him the money. He did his job. What happens, though, what's the concept of tzedakah? A guy comes into a shul, or whatever it is, and asks for tzedakah. You don't technically owe him a thing. You don't owe him anything. Tzedakah is when you give somebody what they don't deserve. I mean, technically. So what happens here? A Jew comes to God. So it says back in the Gemara, there's a pasuk habire leiv, there's a pasuk until habire leiv, strong-hearted people. The Gemara says that refers to tzaddikim that are far from tzedakah. What do you mean they're far from tzedakah? When they daven to God, they give me A, B, C, D, they're not asking for tzedakah. They say, listen, God, I'm doing the job you gave me to do. I do it properly. I'm a tzaddik. I mean, you know, I'm asking for payment. So they're not asking for tzedakah. We, on the other hand, are coming to God and say, okay, we give God a whole shopping list of all the things we want, yeah? God says, 1 minute. You deserve it? Doubt it. You know? So God says, what are you asking for? Tzedakah? You want me to give you tzedakah? Okay, I'll give you tzedakah. So by the way, it works like this. If God sees that when somebody asks us for tzedakah, we just give tzedakah, and we don't make a thing, do you deserve it? Don't you deserve it? We just give them. So then God acts like that to us. Right? When we ask God for tzedakah, Hashem says, listen, you don't ask, you just give, so I'll not ask, of course I'll just give. But if we start saying, you know, you really should get a job, why are you collecting money? So God says, 1 minute, if that's the way you act, I'm going to act the same way. When we give back this collateral at night for the person to, or if it's a day garment or day thing he needs it during the day, you can take it at night and give it back during the day. That's talocha, what the pasuk is saying here, either way. So then basically God said, then you're doing tzedakah. The guy doesn't deserve really to give it back to him. Right? Because he owes you the money. He owes you money. And you have to take the collateral. But God says it's tzedakah, so therefore when you do that, Hashem says that therefore the pasuk says, Olochati et tzedakah lefnei Hashem Elokecha, then God will give you tzedakah because you're doing something that really the guy doesn't deserve necessarily, and you're giving him tzedakah. So when a person acts like that, so God acts, God reacts, so to speak. Mida kenegemida, di for di, and that's the way it happens, lefnei Hashem Elokecha. But that's one way of looking at it. Looking at it in deeper ways like this. The Gemara says that the poor man does more for the rich man when he tzedakah, right? Than the rich man does for the poor man. Rich man gives a tzedakah to the poor man, so the rich man thinks, oh, I'm a great guy, I gave him tzedakah. The Gemara says, no. The poor man does more for the rich man than the rich man but does for the poor man. Why? It's very simple. The poor man is giving the rich man an opportunity to do a mitzvah. He's giving him a mitzvah. The rich man is giving the guy a dollar. A mitzvah is worth more than a dollar. So he's only giving him a dollar, and this guy's giving him a mitzvah, which is much greater. Another issue involved in this, a person... Yeah, you give him a bracha, I mean, whatever. But the ani is giving to the rich man... I understand, I'm saying, even if not, the fact that the ani allowed him to give tzedakah... Huh?
A little chilly.
Ach. We're soon going to learn about a Amalek. A Amalek is cold. The Jew has to be warm.
That's why he's moving, because he wants to be warm.
That's right.
Supposed to be warm inside. Okay, anyway. Okay, just sit down.
I'm just, you know, hey, chilly.
Now, all the money in the world, all the money in the world belongs to God. It says, Liya Kesev, Liya Zav, Amar Hashem Tzvokis. Hashem says, money's all mine. We are only God's estate managers. Okay? Now, that means, let's say I give tzedakah to somebody, because I have the money and they don't, so I give them tzedakah. I'm not giving the poor man my tzedakah, my money. I'm giving the poor man his money, that belongs to him, but God decided it should go through me. But I'm not giving him my money. I'm giving him his money that God, as God's manager of the estate, Hashem gave me as the manager,
the custodian,
the safekeeper, the guy, whatever it is, to give the money to the poor man. So I'm not giving the poor man my money. I'm giving him his money. I just happen to be the bank. Whatever you want to call it.
Does the Chumash have a percentage, like the 10%? Is that like stated in there so that if you give more, then you are, you're giving more, so you're giving your money, so you're giving more.
Gemara says like this, you should give 10%, preferably 20%. And then the Gemara says, Al Yivaz Ve'ezeisim Mechemish, you shouldn't give more than 20%. That's normal in the din of tzedakah. But there's another aspect that in Tanya that Rebbe explains about the Neger Satshuva, and that is there's a pasuk in Daniel that says Chato'echa b'tzedaka pareik, which means Daniel says, redeem your sins with tzedaka. That doesn't mean you can pay the sin and get out of it by paying. They tell the story of a rich man who never gave tzedakah, never did any mitzvahs, went up to heaven, and the heavenly court decided he's not going to Gan Eden. He's going to the other place. So he says to God, "And one minute, I'll write a check. I'll buy my way into Gan Eden." So God said to him, "In this world, we don't take checks. We only take receipts. Show the receipt, how much tzedakah you gave, that's what the entrance to Gan Eden is. You say that here we don't take checks, no credit card either. We don't take checks." So the mitzvahs that a person does is actually what gets him into Gan Eden. So what was I saying? Just remember a second.
Tzedakah.
No, I understand. Oh, 20%. No, it's 1 second. So it says that you redeem your sins with tzedakah. It doesn't mean that I can sin and then pay for it. See, you know, in America there's an expression, there's no such thing as no parking space. There's always a parking space. Some of them are very expensive. The ticket could be very expensive, but there's still a parking place. You could park by a meter, a red line. There's always a parking space. It's just very expensive. You know what I mean? You just have to pay a lot for it. But you can't buy tzedakah for your sins. What does it mean? So and Tanya explains the whole thing. If somebody sins and going to write a check to tzedakah and not do tshuva, it doesn't forgive the sin. What is the concept similar to korbanis? In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, somebody sinned, they brought an animal as a sin offering. The Gemara says, what was the analogy of a sin? Or why did God bring a behemoth, an animal, to the Beis HaMikdash? It had to come with tshuva. It says when you brought a sin offering, the Torah says, "Vizvadu es chatosam." They have to confess their sins. They had to do tshuva. It wasn't enough just to bring an animal. So the analogy is, and it's very important to keep in mind. The analogy was like this. Two people get into a fight. And they ask forgiveness. Yeah? Two friends get into a fight and they ask forgiveness from each other and they give each other forgiveness. Yeah? But the relationship is not what it used to be. It's still not the same. Yes, we forgave you. No grudges, even though that's not true. There's always grudges. But the bottom line is, I forgave you, you know, but it's not the same. So what do you do in such a case when two people get into a fight and they make up? Somebody sends the other one a gift. The gift is not the repentance, is not the forgiveness, is post-forgiveness to recreate a bond between the two. Okay? So when a person sinned in the time of the temple, time of the Beis HaMikdash, they sinned and they did tshuva, so they brought a sacrifice to recreate the relationship with God that it was before they sinned. Okay? Then there was no Beis HaMikdash. So what did they do instead? So they fasted. Because when you fast, your body becomes less, you know, there's less intake of food. So your blood and flesh becomes like a sacrifice to God. That was instead of korbanos. But then Alter Rebbe says nowadays it's forbidden to fast because we're not healthy and strong. It's going to be detrimental to our serving God and health and everything. So today we do it with tzedakah. Because what's tzedakah? The money my whole body worked with, and then I'm taking this money that my whole body worked with, and I'm giving it to God. I mean, tzedakah, to God, basically. So then, that is considered like fasting or like a sacrifice. Well, one second, let me just finish the point. But, so therefore, this is what Daniel says. If you sinned, you have to redeem your sins with tzedakah. Okay? Then, it says like this. Just like the pasuk says, Kol asher lo ish, yitein ba'ad nafsho, whatever person owns, he'll give to save his life, unless you're Jack Benny or something like that. But the guy says, the guy's dying, and they say to him, well, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get healed. He says, no, I'm only willing to pay $1,000. I mean,
somebody has a sound mind.
Right, unless you're Meshuggah or Jack Benny, whatever it is. He thinks about it at least. So, bottom line is, whatever person has is going to have to give to save his life. So if you're talking about the spiritual life to give tzedakah, so then even 20% is not a limit anymore. Whatever person, depending how much you sin, is
so
how much.
How do you get it? But you said earlier that that's not your money, so you're not really giving tzedakah because it's Hashem's money, it's his. So then where is that point where you are going over and above?
Okay, I'm going to come to you tomorrow and say, okay, all your money is God, so give it all to me. God told me to tell you to give it to me. I mean, you're going to give it to me? I'm asking you. First, I will say it. But I'm serious. You're going to give me the money?
No, I think the point is where...
No, I'm saying it's still very difficult to park.
You can live comfortably and your loved ones can comfortably live comfortably for generations. You can give the rest. And people do that. Some people do.
Yeah, but it says, Mishpat utzdaka b'yakiv. It says in Sfarim, really you're supposed to make a mishpah, the judgment, the minimal that I need to live.
Right.
And everything else give away to tzedakah. Not, I need to live a lavish lifestyle, and then when I have leftover money that I bored and I have nothing to do with it, then I'll give away to tzedakah.
So that's, it doesn't say 10%.
It does. In Torah it says 10%. Aser te aser.
Which is 20.
No. Aser te aser means tithing you should tithe.
10, 20.
No.
What? A recent study shows that there is a positive effect on your thinking faculties when you fast.
Mm.
Because of the stop and go of nourishment.
Let me tell a little secret. I just know when people fast, you're dysfunctional.
At the time, yes, but it does have a
long term.
Yeah, overall.
Like in 10 years from now, the fast that I did 10 years ago.
Overall, it does affect it.
Generally speaking, fasting every so often is healthy.
Yeah.
But on the day you fast, you're dysfunctional. That's all.
But they didn't know that it's actually for the brain.
There's a story in the Gemara, Bava Kamma. Somebody asked Rav Nachman a question in the evening, and he said, I don't know. The next morning he saw him and he answered him, and he said, this that I didn't tell you at night, I didn't have beef. I didn't eat dinner yet. I didn't eat meat. So my brain wasn't working well.
But he said, bisra, beef?
Bisra de tura means the meat of an ox, basra of an ox. No, but, yeah. Anyway, so when a person does this, then God blesses the person that, he gets tzedakah from Hashem because he is doing an act of chesed, or tzedakah, and therefore Hashem gives him the tzedakah. So the Torah basically is teaching us like this, in this mitzvah, by the way, of not going into the house and giving it back to him when he needs it. A person shouldn't come along and say, the guy owes me the money, it's my object, I don't have to give it back to him. First of all, that's not what God does every morning. God gives us back the neshama that he took as collateral at night. And what's more important, God says you need to understand that you lent the guy the money, it's God's money that you lent him. Yeah, he has an obligation to pay it back. Okay? But as far as you're concerned, you need to know that it's really God's money and you're lending it to the person, and just say God doesn't demand back the debt right away, don't you demand the debt back right away. Now, obviously, this is clearly, by the way, that's if you know the guy doesn't have money. If the guy has money and he's copping out all the excuse in the book, it's a different story. This din doesn't apply. It's talking in a case when you know the guy Taka doesn't have money. But if you know he has money, he's just not paying, so then this din doesn't apply, the halacha says. Okay. No.